security announcement.
Smash object!
Those are sounds from a new video game called State of Emergency. It's a game which allows you to portray an anarchist, a member of the freedom movement. Wagner James Au writes about video games for Salon.com, and Au says that State of Emergency is about anarchy.
Well, the premise is you're part of the rebellion against this international corporation that has basically control of the entire infrastructure. They control all the media, they control the government, and they've really kind of clamped down. And there's kind of an underground resistance movement, and you're trying to take down the corporations bit by bit. With first, you start in a shopping mall, and it's a totally corporate-owned shopping mall, so you end up performing lots of acts of sabotage against, like, the storefront windows. And also then you'll get some dynamite to blow up the security center. And you kind of go from there.
I mean, it doesn't sound very new. It sounds like the same scenario that's in Star Wars and every other group like this, except that it takes place here and now, right?
Yeah, it's in the present day. When the game was first announced last year, it had much more pronounced politics. When they announced it, it was called the American Trade Organization that you were fighting against.
Oh, which sounds a lot like the World Trade Organization that actually exists.
And apparently some of the developers mentioned the protest slash riot in Seattle against the WTO as an inspiration for the game. Uh-huh. And they since backed away, and then they changed it to just the corporation with a capital C.
So what do you actually do in the game? You said you start in a shopping mall and little acts of sabotage.
Well, you get assigned by the resistance leaders. They all wear bandanas, sort of like the way the Black Bloc movement does. So you'll do some sabotage. You'll actually assassinate some corporate functionaries. And then you kind of work your way towards the center of the Capitol, where the actual head corporate office is. And you're trying to take the whole thing down.
Are there any restrictions on what you can do?
Not really. You can actually kill pretty much anybody or destroy pretty much anything. They were implying pretty much that you would be able to do that and be rewarded within the game, though now you don't really get any points for killing civilians. So you only get points for attacking the corporate enemies. Uh-huh. So you can kill anybody and you can, hit anybody. But yeah, actually to succeed in the game, you have to direct your fire at the corporation.
So it's the politics that matter. Now, I guess what I'm curious about is how serious the politics are. Do you think that it's really designed for political propaganda?
Oh, it's designed to be an entertainment to sell a lot of copies, and it is. It's on the bestseller list at the moment. But there is definitely throughout a pronounced political outlook, which is running through the whole game. So the developers definitely had that in mind, and they do want to get across some of these political messages.
It's kind of ironic, though, isn't it? I mean, in the game, you've got people trying to rebel against corporate America or corporate world or whatever it is, and at the same time, what they're doing is trying to sell as many copies as possible and make money.
Oh, yeah, and the corporation, the parent company of the developers, Take-Two Interactive, they actually had some financial trouble, and they got in trouble with the SEC. So their stock got frozen on the NASDAQ for, I think, a week or two. And it got to the point where their future profitability depended on the success of this game, State of Emergency. So their success as a capitalist entity depends on this viciously anti-capitalist game.
So it makes you wonder how viciously anti-capitalist it really is.
Yeah.
They're just sort of taking advantage of people's feelings about the takeover of the world by corporations.
Well, I really think it's trying to have it all both ways, it's not too dissimilar from a lot of other anti-globalization cultural forces who are also actually controlled by corporations. Michael Moore gets out his books, and they're actually printed by Fox News Corp, Rupert Murdoch's company, and, his films are put out by, the Disney Corporation through Miramax, or, you'll have an anti-globalization rock group called, Rage Against the Machine, and they're actually a product of Sony.
Are there other people out there? I mean, I think I read someplace about some games that had racist themes, for instance. Are those popular?
To my knowledge, they're only popular to other races. That's actually the kind of dark side of a really interesting subculture called modding. In other words, modifications, where game companies release the editing tools to their games, and you can create new levels, new game levels to this pre-existing game. And so that's actually unleashed quite a bit of creativity, where people can actually create mods which are as good as the original game. But on the other hand,
what kind of thing have they done to them?
A lot of modders will create standalone multiplayer maps where people can fight each other. Probably the most well-known one is this mod called Counter-Strike, which is a modification of a pre-existing game called Half-Life. And in that game, it's terrorists versus counter-terrorists, and you have various scenarios where you're trying to free hostages or disable a bomb. And it's actually online, it's more popular than the original game. But yeah, on the downside, apparently a few racists got a hold of these editing tools and they turned it into a mod called, I think it's called Ethnic Cleansing. And, you know, instead of shooting aliens, you shoot, you know, Mexicans and black folks. And yeah, just really appalling.
You know, it seems to me that so many video games are shoot-em-ups. You have a weapon or 100 weapons, and your goal is to kill people. Is that true?
No, I think the what they call the first-person shooter genre, that is, I believe, about 10-15% of the market. The biggest bestseller of all time is actually called The Sims, where it's actually a simulation of a suburban middle America, and the whole object of the game, as it were, is to create a family and to buy a house and get a car and get a good job and get some friends and get married. And that's the biggest seller right now.
I suppose that could be viewed as propaganda too, couldn't it?
It's interesting. People have read it as a satire of kind of, you know, consumerism, because it reduces all of consumerism to facets of the game, and you really realize how robotic it is to kind of look to buy the newest car and to buy the newest items, especially if you're doing it because in the game, when you get these items, it helps you get more friends. And so it really kind of makes concrete what we're all going through kind of in this consumer culture.
Are there games where are there political games? We've talked about the political aspects to some of these. Are there games where you run for office or where you try to manipulate populations or that kind of thing?
Yeah, they've done a few of those, like kind of campaign sims. Really interesting game that's being developed right now is called Republic, which is set in a post-Soviet republic, and you play someone who wants to take control of the republic, and you can do it through various means. You can do it through a democratic process, or you can do it by taking control of the mafia and doing it as a criminal. You can do it as a priest and try to sway the republic through spiritual means. So, yeah, it's very interesting.
Have you played it?
No, it's still in development. I think it's coming out later this year.
I was just wondering which one's more fun.
They demonstrated it at a game developers conference last year, and they were showing how, you can assassinate a priest who gets to be pesky. You know, say you're a mobster and he's getting too much influence, and yeah, it looked really fun to like take out a hit on him.
Unless you're playing the priest character, in which case maybe it wouldn't be so fun.
Yeah. Yeah, the interesting thing is, especially now that the breakaway Soviet republics, you know, in Uzbekistan and such, are becoming quite important to the state of the world and state of American foreign policy. These developers have created a model of a republic. They actually are trying to make the artificial intelligence complex enough where each person is represented and has their own political opinions, has their own house, and they want to do it in such a way that you collectively, all of their single decisions will lead to, you know, will shape the outcome of politics and the state of the republic.
I read about a category of video games called God games. Black and white is one of them. What do you do in black and white?
You basically play a god, and you're in control of a tiny village of people who consider you their god, and to go on being their God, you have to perform miracles for them. The more miracles you perform, the more they believe in you. You actually get belief points, which increase your godly power. And if they stop believing in you, you actually lose belief points to the point where you could go out of existence because they cease believing in you. So it's actually a reflection of Nietzsche's theory of belief in God.
Could change the way you feel about going to services on Sunday, couldn't it?
Yeah. Change the way you feel about the nature of God, because you actually have pretty much omniscient power. And so then you begin to wonder, well, why should I help these people? I mean, if I perform these miracles, I'm actually taking moral agency away from them, because instead of going out and trying to fend for themselves, they gather around the shrine praying to me. And, you know, it gets annoying. And a lot of people start throwing fireballs at them at that point.
You've actually done some script writing, haven't you, for Majestic?
Yeah. It's a game from Electronic Arts, came out last year.
What is it about?
It's sort of a takeoff on pretty much every conspiracy theory that's come out since 1948 and the Roswell experience, and then the Cold War and Operation Paperclip. So it's very much in the sphere of the X-Files, and you as the player are actually not totally aware of where the game ends and reality begins, because what the Majestic team did is they created a lot of fake websites, and you need to go to those websites to find clues to progress in the game. But those websites are actually real websites in the sense that anybody can find them, and they look for all intents and purposes like a real website for example, a company, and you really can't tell. And then at a certain point in the game, you'll get faxes from characters in the game, or emails or voicemails.
Wagner James Au writes about video games for Salon.com.